This is Isabel Perman, and today we will be taking a look into how the Kansas-Nebraska Act and popular sovereignty were ultimately catalysts of the American Civil War. By the early 1850s, many settlers, farmers, and business people had the desire to migrate westward into the area that is present-day Nebraska. The people of the East wanted to move into this area so that they could obtain the same opportunities of those that came before them. However, this desire of migration was challenged with the fact that settlers refused to move into the area until it was recognized as an organized territory of the United States. Settlers wanted for Nebraska to become an organized territory because they would not be able to hold claims to the land there until it was a legitimate part of the U.S. These desires were heavily opposed by the slaveholding people of the South because the territory that would later become Nebraska lay above the 36 degree 30 line. This posed a problem for the South because the Missouri Compromise of 1820 outlawed slavery in this area, meaning that it would add another free state to the Union. If Nebraska was recognized as an organized territory, the North would have an unfair advantage over the South in terms of this institution. Stephen A. Douglas, a Democratic senator from Illinois, proposed a solution to this possible imbalance. Despite his Democratic views, Douglas supported Nebraska being made into an organized territory, with an underlying desire to build a transcontinental railroad and expand farming westward. In order to gain the South's support, Douglas suggested adding a state alongside Nebraska that would support slavery as an institution. The state that he appointed for this purpose was Kansas. The issue that was presented was that along with Nebraska, Kansas also lay above the 36 degree 30 parallel. In order for Douglas's plan to work, the Missouri Compromise of 1820 would have to be repealed. The repeal of the Missouri Compromise was highly opposed, especially in the North. However, the bill was passed in May of 1854. The passing of this bill exposed what was considered Northern territory to the institution of slavery at the hands of the people, meaning that the people of these new territories would be the ones to decide whether their states would be slave or free through the idea of popular sovereignty. This policy put the issue of slavery to a vote in the new territories, and this vote caused a mass influx of pro-slavery settlers and abolitionists to the area of Kansas. The new act enraged the North, and the controversy concerning it was significant enough to divide a major political party. The stress that the topic of slavery put on the Whig Party, a party that spread across the entirety of the U.S., split the party in half. Northern Whigs heavily opposed the Kansas-Nebraska Act, and the Southern Whigs backed it. Slavery was such an important issue that no common ground could be reached within the party. The Northern Whigs joined forces with the Republican Party, while the Southern Whigs assimilated into the Democratic Party. Many people who picked up and moved to Kansas did so to explore new opportunity. However, a good amount of the migration was based on the voting that was to take place. Thousands of settlers moved to Kansas simply to have a say in whether it should be slave or free. Pro-slavery immigrants from Missouri coined the term border ruffians because they attempted to manipulate Kansas's policy on slavery from the Kansas-Missouri border. A Milwaukee Daily Centennial article commented on this influx, saying, quote, "That result, so far from reflecting the real will of the people of Kansas, was brought about by the votes of men imported for the occasion from the neighboring state of Missouri," end quote. A state that was initially meant to be for the people and aid in the expansion of agriculture and transportation was transformed into a political battleground in which the true inhabitants of Kansas had little to no say. Tensions began to rise between the Jayhawkers of the North and the border ruffians of the South over the issue of slavery. The occupation of Kansas by pro-slavery and anti-slavery settlers divided the territory and led to a period of guerrilla warfare and animosity known as Bleeding Kansas. Due to this period of warfare, 56 people were killed on both sides in separate conflicts between 1854 and 1861 in the Kansas area. As the North and the South continued to battle over this territory, hostility increased, which was reflected in the rest of the United States. Deaths in these guerrilla conflicts were felt by both sides of this argument, and it became more and more clear that violence was the only way to victory. When we ask if popular sovereignty was a catalyst of the Civil War, we must look to the effects that it had on the state of Kansas for the answer. This concept, in attempting to give the people of the United States a voice, divided an entire territory to the point of conflict and split an extremely prominent political party in half. Prior to this act, a stalemate of sorts was reached between the North and the South. the issue of slavery was put at bay. As the act was introduced and passed, old wounds, especially those concerning slavery, were opened. War was declared between the North and the South, a mere 6 years after the Kansas-Nebraska Act was passed. This minuscule amount of time should not be ignored. In fact, it should be viewed as significant evidence as to how these two events are so closely connected. In January of 1861, fed up with the Union and their anti-slavery ideals, South Carolina led the South in seceding and forming the Confederate States of America. A short 4 months later, the first battle of the bloodiest war fought on American soil occurred. Hence, the introduction of popular sovereignty and the battle for control over Kansas between the North and the South can be viewed as a precursor to the American Civil War.